are we doing today? I got two of you awake. I invite your attention to Luke chapter 18. I get to experiment on you guys in two different ways this morning. I've had new glasses yesterday, and I'm having a hard time focusing in on them. I got a brand new Bible this week, and so I'm breaking that in. And so you're getting two first today. I don't know how many of you believe that the Lord has a sense of humor, but I'm one of those guys who do. I think it's very dry, to be honest. I'm not used to wearing stuff like this anyway. I normally get up in the middle of the night and pray. And this morning I was just a little bit later than normal. So for the second time in my life that I remember, the Lord put a cramp in my leg, so I had to get up and pray. And I just wanted to see the Lord sort of just laugh at me and say, it's time for you to get up. And, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's just me, and I think that, like I said, I think the Lord has a dry sense of humor. But I want to talk to you today about prayer, probably my favorite subject. Usually everywhere I go, I speak on prayer sometime if I'm there. One or two Sundays. But Luke chapter 18 talks about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And you know the story well, how the Pharisee went up and basically bragged to God about how spiritual he was, and how he didn't do this, and how he did this. But this tax collector, and to put your mind in focus, tax collectors in biblical times, Jewish tax collectors, were the scum of the earth. Jews didn't like the idea of paying taxes to the Roman government. And for a Jew to collect taxes, he was not well received. And this tax collector was off in the side of the temple by himself. Probably because no righteous Pharisee would associate with him or be seen with him. He was all by himself praying. I'll pick up in verse number 13. It says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There are several things I want to address today. I think it's important that we understand that praying is a vital part of Christianity. It's a vital part of your relationship with God. It's your opportunity to talk with God. It's your opportunity to be open with God and to share your heart that you won't share with anybody else. One of the things, as you read through the scriptures, you find that God really doesn't care for hypocrites. He wants you to be sincere. And the sincerest place that we can be with God is in prayer. We can just reveal our hearts. If you think back in the Old Testament, God was speaking to Moses about going to lead the nation of Israel out. Moses really argued with God. And he began to make excuses. And one of his excuses was, I can't speak to him. I don't know if he had a stuttering problem or some sort of speech impediment, but I feel like he did have something like that. And so Aaron tagged him on and says, now, for a while, then Moses just flat took over and started speaking directly to the people. One of the great things about Moses, and I often overlook it, I get reminded of it after the last week or so. Moses spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai with God, just him and God. And I'm thinking, we Christians, if I'm commenting generally about us, we're spiritual if we spend 20 minutes with the Lord in prayer. But Moses spent 40 days up there. To me, that speaks volumes of his relationship with God. And God, he learned how to pray, he learned how to talk with God. Praying is talking with God. Just laying your heart out with God. And that's a little bit of what I want to talk about today. The first thing I want us to see is that the effectual praying is mumbling praying. Find some place where you can get alone with God. Whether it's in your house, in a particular room in your house, maybe you take a walk in the neighborhood, maybe it's your drive to work. Wherever it is, this is just you and God, nobody else, that you can open up yourself to the Lord and just share your heart. Sharing our heart is something I think that we develop over our lifetime of just really just opening up the premises of our heart to share what's bothering us, to share what we desire, to share how we would like to be made more spiritual. Just to share our lives. Daniel, who is at this particular time in verse chapter 6, verse number 10, he was a leader in the nation of and they were in captivity, and the king ordered a command that nobody could pray to anybody except him. But Daniel had a habit of praying with God on a regular basis. And just because the king said no, he said, I'm still going to pray and I'm still going to be faithful. Well, in verse number 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed, he went home. And in his upper room with the windows open, towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as his custom since the early days. Daniel had a history of praying. He chose to pray regardless of what was going on. He chose to trust God. And he chose to communicate with God regardless of what else was going on. His personal relationship with God was paramount to his spiritual well-being. He knew that he could not do anything spiritually without God's direction. And he was willing to pour his heart out to God. I'd imagine this prayer, he said, he would told God, he said, mighty God, the king said, I can't pray to anybody. But I'm going to pray to you regardless. They can do whatever they want to do with me, but I'm still going to pray. And I think that's the attitude that we need to have, that we're going to spend time with God. I think you need to have a regular scheduled time with God. I don't know what fits in your schedule, but somehow, some way, whether it's in the middle of the day, late at night, early in the morning, what you're traveling the world, whatever it is, that you spend time with God, and just you and God, and where you can pour your heart out. Acts chapter 10, in verse number 9, it said, talking about Peter and the vision that he had, because God's getting ready to do something very unique with Peter. He says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. In other words, about them. God's getting ready to open up the gospel to Gentiles for the first time officially in the Bible. And Peter was going to be the messenger. Now for a Jew to go to the house of Gentiles was an absolute abomination. It just didn't happen. Gentiles, non-Jewish people were considered, they just act like they had Ichabod across the foreheads. Well, because Peter was obedient to the Lord, because he was obedient in prayer, and God spoke to him. And in a sense, that's the reason why we're here today, because the gospel was open to the Gentiles. That's who we are. See, God goes to great lengths to make sure that people know about him if we're willing to listen and be and just let God work in our lives. But you're going to have to get along with God. And just trust God and spend some time with him. Then the second thing I want us to see is that effectual praying is engulfed in humility. Pride and prayer does not go together. The most simplistic prayers are the honest prayers. If you had the great fortune of being around maybe your grandkids now and listen to them pray, especially when they're like 4 or 5 or 6 or something like that, their simplicity, their honesty is enlightening, encouraging. If we could just be that honest, you know, just let God work in our lives. God, I need you. I want to serve you. I don't know how to serve you. I don't know what to say. Just say, God, would you give me the words to say? It's amazing what God can do. Romans chapter 12, we know verses 1 and 2 talk about being obedience, let your body be acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and how to make yourself spiritual. But verse number 3 says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. That's encouraging to me, because God's given each one of us a measure of faith. What do we believe God can do through us? What are we willing to trust God to do through us? Sometimes God scares us and says, I want you to do this, or I want you to go here. Or I want you to talk to somebody. And we reply, I don't know how to do that. And we relate our fright to the Lord. Well, the Lord knows that we're scared. But if we depend upon him, he will somehow enable us to do it. I've had a number of usually God has told me to do certain things, and I've been scared to death to say it, go to someone and say it. And after I've been obedient and started to reflect upon it, I got scared. I really got scared. And God used me in such a way to say whatever it was. It's hard to tell a person that they need to change me with. I remember counseling one lady. I can't remember, she came to me about marrying the guy that she was living with. I remember saying this. She had kids and he had kids and they were together and they wanted to get married and he was an alcoholic. And when he'd go a week or so without drinking, then when he did, he come home and get me. And I said, basically, I said, you don't want to marry him unless he gives up alcohol. And I said, he needs to give up alcohol for at least 6 months to prove that he's willing to do it. So she went and told him that. And he gave it up for a while, but sure enough, he went back to it one payday. And she literally picked up his kids, took his kids, his sister, and she took her kids and headed south because he got mean. My dad was not. My dad was the nicest guy in the world. So Friday night, payday, and the bottle of Seagram's. I can remember that. He could drink his Valentine ale, and he kind of something about hard liquor and him just he changed personalities. And I never have forgotten that. When I started dating my wife, I was in high school, and I used to have to go, back then, we lived without work. I had to go to him and ask him for $3 to go on a date. And sometimes I could hear this mouth, and I hated him, but I loved my wife. You know, I dated her 5 years, and this was like year one of our dating. And I would go and endure that, but some things just doesn't change. But if you're going to be sincere about your prayer, you need to approach God in the Holy Spirit. The third thing I want us to look at is that effectual praying is putting your body in subjection to the will of God. You can't. It comes down to who's in charge of you. Is God in charge of you, or are you in charge of you? It's a strange situation sometimes. Trying to make up your mind who's in charge. Are we willing to change our schedules to accommodate something that the Lord has put on our hearts? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of God and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Sometimes we let other people influence us contrary to what God wants us to do. And we're all guilty of it. We've all been there and done that. We've got either family or job or neighbors or associations or whatever reschedule our being. See, this is almost 60 years ago when I was in college. I was a president of the fraternity. And I was the chartering president. Well, that fraternity is having a reunion this 3 weeks. They invited me to come down there and be with them. And I nicely replied back this week, I'm already booked that weekend. Praise the Lord. I have not been back there since I basically left that area. I'm not sure that I ever plan to go back. I would like to go back there and preach to them, but I don't know. I can't preach to them at a football game or at a party. Anyway, I'm not going unless the Lord does something differently in my head. But we need to put our body in subjection to the will of God. We need to let God tell us what to do and be obedient to His leadership and His guidance. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51, verse number 3, he says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. When we sin against God and ask God to forgive us, He forgives us. My problem, I don't know if it's your problem, is that my memory, my hard drive keeps replaying it. And it's haunting, to be honest. And one of the great things about getting old, sometimes you forget some things. And that's a good thing sometimes. But for a number of years. And some of those men, not all of them, just some of them, get right with the Lord and meet the Lord in prison, and but they could never erase what they did, put them there in prison. It haunted them. And some of them did some pretty terrible things that they told me about. But I'm so glad that I didn't have to go down that broken life. If you examine your life and really think about it, God's been with you your entire life. He has protected you. He has kept you out of some stupid situations. And even when you were in some stupid situations, He still protected you along the way. Because God just has that way of just helping us keep our body in subjection to His will. And then the next thing I want us to look at, effectual praying includes asking for mercy. In Psalm 34, the first part of verse number 18, it says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." Sin needs to break our hearts, and so that we can ask forgiveness and be truly repentant, that is, return from whatever it is to where we need, where God would like for us to go. Because praying, I believe praying changes the world. I believe praying not only changes us as individuals, but one of the great things that this nation needs, from my vantage, we need a good old-fashioned revival. One that will just shake this country to its bones. I don't know whether it needs to start with us or it needs to start with D.C. But I know our country needs a revival. Churches need a revival. We need to be concerned about our communities. And we need to pray about our communities. We need to invite people to the house of God. I don't know whether you invited somebody to the house of God this week or not, but it ought to be on our hearts wherever we go to invite someone to the house of God. Over the last maybe 2 years, maybe it's been longer, my wife and I typically eat barbecue once every week, 2 weeks. And on Tuesday night, there's one person that she only works Tuesdays. She's always she works for her other job. But we developed a friendship, and I invited her to come to church this Sunday. She says, "We'll see about bottom line." Well, I don't see. But what I'm trying to say is, wherever you go, there's somebody who needs the Lord. And you don't have to bag your own. You just plant a seed in water. Just keep praying and water it some more and let God give the increase. For everything is right, He'll give the increase. But you need to be diligent in your part in doing what God would have you to do. God has a way of just making things happen. But it takes faithful people, it takes effectual praying that God would work in their hearts. In Job chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, "So rent your heart and not your garments." In other words, open up your heart. "Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and merciful, and slow to anger, and great and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm." You can have fellowship with God on a friend's basis. But just to get a hold of God and His heart and open up yourself to to be, to listen to him and let him speak to us. God has a way of doing, I say strange things in strange times, but in a way to get your attention and to break that shell that we have built around ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I'm haunted. And some of you may have that characteristic also. And whatever the Lord has to use to get our attention, he's willing to do it. And then when he does it, are we willing to listen? But in that process, we need to ask for mercy and ask God to intervene and help us along our journey, that we can be the people that he would have us to be. And then the fifth thing I want us to see is that if that you're praying acknowledges that you are sinner, saved by grace. Why was I allowed to hear the gospel? I write a blog every week trying to promote an audience to so I can get a book deal. But in this last blog I wrote, why did God allow me to be born in America and hear the gospel when I've been born in the Amazon? We are very privileged people to be born in America in the 20th century, 21st, be here in the 21st century. On my phone, I get all kinds of emails, and some of them are just gadgets, you know. Said, did any of you use this? And one of this week was an old wood stove. And I think of my Aunt Kate, and I see that. I mean, she baked biscuits in a wood stove. I can't imagine baking biscuits in a wood stove. I just can't. It's beyond me. I can remember when we visited her, she had a well, and had a big old pole with a on the end, the boat goes down. I remember that. That was her fresh milk. She was well up in the late 70s, I think, before she ever had running water in the house. She lived on the old homestead. That's all she knew was that well. I'm glad I can go to the faucet terminal. I'm glad I can take a shower, but to just turn the two knobs instead of going down to the creek. I do remember when we first came to Portsmouth, and we went with my grandmother, and she took a bath in a long getting tub, and my mom heated the water, put it in, it's some cold water, and that's, we got a bath about once a week thereabouts. I'm glad that I can get to the shower and cut, turn two knobs and test it, and get clean that way. I'm glad I let up. But you know what? That was a very spiritual Christian. Never had a light switch. And on all the conveniences that we have, I wonder if we're evangelizing our country the way our ancestors did. I wonder. But we're saved by grace. Psalm 85, verse 7 says, show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. God's been so good to us. God's been good to me. I mean, I didn't have to hook up a horse and a buggy or put a saddle on him to come to church this morning. I didn't have to walk about 6 miles to church. God's good to us. We have it all. But why are we doing the reach to the gospel? Reach the people with the gospel. How is our prayer line moving to people? I go back to this tax collector. He stood far off, and would not so much as raise his eyes and sends tools for his people to tell us about Jesus. If we make up our minds that they can begin one or two individuals to pray for them, pray for them on a regular basis, just see the problem. Pick out a person saying, God, whatever you think their need is, whether they need to know the Lord, whether they need to return to the house of God, whether they need to be faithful, whether they need to be healed, whether they need a financial helping hand, whatever it is. We all go through valleys in our lives. It's just a matter of time before we experience a new valley. We can't live on the mountaintops all our life. God's been very good to us. But God will answer our prayers if we are sincere about praying. And don't quit on God. Just keep on praying. It may not happen in your lifetime. Your prayers will be answered after you are in heaven. I'm praying for a great grandchild who's not even born yet. He's not due for another 6 weeks or so. But I'm already praying God's going to use him. He's going to be handicapped in a way because they've already picked out the name Caleb. That was a big shoes to fill, spiritually. I'm praying to God to use him to fill those big shoes. I'll probably never see him preach my college marriage. I'll probably never see my other two grandsons preach. I've been praying to God to do use him. I've got one that is just as mischievous as he can be. You tell him no, he says yes. Tell him he can't do it, I will. He asked me, they were downstairs, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday, they just returned from vacation. And the old woman was playing with something, and the younger one wanted it. Anyway, I didn't get the details, and so he said, I don't want that. Can I just have one? And my wife says, Neil, would you let your brother have one? He said, yes. So he gave it to his little brother, and he says, I want one. She says, no, you asked for one. One's all you want. So what did he do? He gave it to his brother, turned around, and upstairs. That's just his way of expressing his anger, just leave. But his hard-headedness and his determination is going to be an asset to God every close to the preacher. Sometimes preachers have to be hard-headed. If you haven't realized that yet, you need to realize that. Because sometimes the people we serve are hard-headed too. But the bottom line of it is that we're servants and are serious about this thing in prayer, we'll be able to change. So effectual praying can change you, this church, and this community if we're willing to pray. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you to speak to our hearts as we leave this place about prayer. That we would determine ourselves to be more attuned to you and pray that you would work through us in the cause of Christ. Would you speak to our hearts as individuals? Speak to our hearts as a church for the glory of God. And we ask that we pray. Amen.